Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. A blessed good morning, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Well, when we exalt the Lord, that means there must be at least one testimony out there somewhere. Anybody have a praise report? Yes, Carol.
Last weekend our car was broken into, and they stole my wallet, Tom's wallet, and all kinds of private stuff, personal stuff that you're not supposed to have in your pocketbook, but I said, listen, and they did get a hold of my account and all that, and so we did pray over it, and the amazing thing is, while praying over it, God said, you know, Carol, this is just all material stuff. What I'm really concerned about is your spiritual well-being. You will be fine with all this, and it's your spirit person that I just love and want to definitely take hold of and do wonderful and wild and crazy things with, you know? And it was great. We didn't get uptight about it. We just did what we had to do. It didn't flourish. Yes, they wiped out my checking account, but you know what? So what? Yeah. No, I shouldn't say, you know what I mean. It will work. It will work. And I just thank him for revealing what really counts.
That's right. Not only that, but the scripture says that when the thief is found out, he has to repay sevenfold what he's stolen. So you claim that verse for a promise right there too. Seven times he's going to pay you back sevenfold what was stolen. God said so, and that's the end of the matter. Thank you, Lord. Someone else. Yes, Laurie.
Honor and a privilege to watch our daughter-in-law be baptized last Sunday, and now our prayer is that her witness to every day would help draw my son to the Lord. And I gave him to the Lord a long time ago, so it's not if, it's when.
That's it. He's able to keep those that are committed to him. Yes, Sam. Praise him with you. Yes, Cam.
That little storm that came through here last week, what was it, Wednesday? That hailstorm. I'm thankful that one of the guys in the ministry bought it on his heart, collected a whole bunch of money and bought me that little black car out there. But I'm blessed that, you know, my windshield is not broke because of all the hail, but there's probably $2,000 to $3,000 worth of damage from hailstorms all over my car. So I got an insurance adjuster coming down on the 14th to take a look at it. And I don't really like the looks of my car because I really like my car. It's the best car I've ever had. But I'm a little disturbed that, you know, it's all gung up. But the Lord will take care of it and then give him the glory for it.
Amen.
Get a little humor out of it.
That's right. It's kind of like us. We come to him all dinged and banged up, but somehow he touches us and makes it all right.
It's a wonder that the windshield wasn't broken. I mean,
the
hailstones are the size of
a
golf
ball. Yeah.
Mm.
You got protected.
Yeah. Yes, Tom.
Two, went to the presentation with Carol.
Oh, okay.
Carol testified, God wants our, he's concerned with our spiritual growth. Yeah. And, you know, so we've been talking about Abraham believing that Sarah was going to have a child. Had the visual. The Lord can tell me, oh, we want to seek ye the kingdom of God first, and all ye be added. And so that's great, that's what I have to make a living. And I've been struggling with that. How do I, oh, get my speed back?
Yeah, I'm probably back. Me. I'm feeding back.
Feeding back.
Ah, shut up.
No, I got my eyes on you. I still see that too. So, I have really been struggling. Like, Lord, how do I do that? Really, how do I do that? So what I've been doing is I've been burying myself in work.
Rick has been talking over the last year, all right? We've heard these things. To appoint anyone over anything. So we can't say we're not qualified. Because through this word, in the Hebrew, through God, he's appointing anybody over anything he chooses. Because he's sovereign. Next one, Carol. To arrange, to command, right? To charge. By everyone who accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, he has put a command in our hearts. He's charged us to do something. He's anointed us to do something. Okay, God? To ordain. And that's the word that stuck out of my mind, because only last month we were officially ordained. Commission. So he's already equipped us. He's charged us to do something. He's ordained us. He's commissioned us to do something. Okay, God? To delegate, to send a messenger. Bill Berace last week was a messenger for you. Could be a testimony, right? To set things in order. Notice I like this. It's a picture of a superior giving a verbal communication to a subordinate. God's our superior. He has verbally spoken to each and every one of us about what he wants to do. It's not that impartation. It's not that gut feeling. He has spoken life into us to do something. It's his command to do something. All right? Also, the word includes the context. So the mannerism of how God says it. Sometimes he says, stand. Sometimes it's a quiet voice. Because he wants you to present his word in a way he's presented to you. It's not how we interpret it. It gives you the word, you understand how intimate it's to be, how forceful it's going to be, how wooing it's going to be. He gives you everything of how he speaks to us. Okay, Carol? This is the one that got me besides being ordained. His commands are unique. What he has spoken to my heart is not the same as Gary's, not the same as Rick or Faith or Ken or Lori. It's unique to us, what he wants us to do. And how he accomplishes his word to us, that's the miracle. And it requires an inner commitment. Mm-hmm. Not that superficial obedience. Since I've been saved, I've been saying I'm being obedient to the Lord. Obedient, obedient, obedient. Mm-hmm. And when I read that, it's that inner commitment. It's not just a voice that you go, and you go because he's the Lord. It's that deeper feeling. He wants us to go. Because we're not just his bond servant. He's our friend. He tells us things. He encourages us. Okay, Carol? When God commands, it happens. He's not a respecter of person. There's been times in this specific church where he's given me such a setting in tongues, and I break out in a hot rash, and I sweat, and I say, I can't say that, Lord. And someone else in the church says it in English right next to me, or a pew ahead. So the Lord will get his word accomplished. And the last one, Carol. Sometimes he issues his commands to the prophets who will speak for him. And that's when we have discernment of a true prophet or false prophet. A lot of prophets out there like to tickle our ears. The prophets that we've been hearing now is about judgment. How God's people need to repent. Should we be repenting? Seeking him for life. The just will live by faith, by their faith. We talked about that last night before. Those are words the Lord is speaking. His prophets are speaking to a nation. Not so much a nation of America. A lot of people claim that America is it. No, he's talking to all nations around the world to come to him. Okay. So it's the prophet. No, basically, the determinative event in the course of history happens unless God has ordained it. The big stuff, God has a plan for it. So last one, Carol. Number one. God has decreed his people be victorious. He has decreed that. He's set it in order. He's ordained each and every one of us to be victorious. It's his command to do that. We really have no right to have to be wallowing in self-pity or looking at circumstances why I am in the place I am today.
so much for us. The number of ministries that we cover, the people coming for us for help, and it's a drain. And the Lord's been prompting me to seek ye the kingdom of God first, and I can't, like I said, I can't wrap my mind around it. I don't know if I should leave my job. I don't know what I should do, because that's what I see. Lord, if I don't put food on my table, how do I support? And he's just saying, trust me. And Rick and I can talk about faith, but when it's hitting us, our faith is a different place. And that's where I am. I don't want to be a negligent husband. I don't want to be foolish. And the Lord's just been quietly saying, trust me. And I said, okay, Lord, that's nebulous. Thank you for this particular word that you have declared me victorious. But I just need more hope, Lord. And I'm seeking his word. So I haven't fasted yet. I cry out every morning. Lord, you have to help me. And you show me what I've done. I've withdrawn from people, and even my job, when I used to go out and do a lot of this ministry stuff, I said, it's easy for me to be on a computer because I don't have to deal with you and type of thing. So he showed that to me, that I need to get back to doing the ministry work a lot more things versus just doing it for a job. So that's my heart cry, and that's the message that the Lord has for us, is to trust in him, that he's decreed us victorious, and to accept that, believe on it, step into it. He loves us. And it's our spiritual walk with him that he's interested in. So, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Anybody want to be a better evangelist?
More better.
Yeah? Little tidbit I picked up over the weekend. Evangelism made easy. Don't you wish it would just be so easy all the time? Well, there was a bar that thought he should share his faith with his customers more than he had been doing lately. So the next morning when the sun came up, the barber got up out of bed. He said, "Today I'm going to witness to the first man that walks through my door." That's a Christian barber, okay. Soon after he opened his shop, the first man came in and said, "I want to shave." That's a bad word. The barber said, "Sure, just sit in the seat and I'll be with you in a moment." The barber went in the back and prayed a quick, desperate prayer saying, "Lord, the first customer came in and I'm going to witness to him. So please, give me the wisdom to know just the right thing to say to him. Amen." Then he quickly came back out, got his straight-edge razor in one hand and a Bible in the other while saying, "Good morning, sir. I have a question for you. Are you ready to die?" That would be quite a convincer. Remember Adam's apple? You just lost one. Anyway, that brings us to our opening scripture with smiles. It's Deuteronomy 11:18 and John 15:7. So we have an old covenant, new covenant, but God never stutters or stammers or changes, but something precious in this one from Deuteronomy, and we're going to have an illustration of this too in a few minutes. "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." First off, it says, "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart." To lay up something means to store it up, to save it, to put it in a safe place, to put it where when you have need, it's going to be there. People lay up food, they lay up savings, they lay up, put things in storage, put it away for a rainy day, kind of to speak. And it's a place where it's usable and accessible. whenever you have need. But he's talking about his word, laying up his word in our heart and in our soul. Well, what's the difference? The heart is the spirit man. The soul is our mind, our will, our intellect, our feelings and emotions. So it's important that not only do we have God's word in our heart, but we renew our minds to it as well to make sure that it's there, because you probably already have discovered how easy it is to change your mind at least once in a day. Things that we think about. And it says to bind them as a sign on your hand, and there shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And at morning prayer time in Israel, the Jewish men would have these little boxes. They're called a phylactery. And they would strap with leather thongs around their forehead this box that contained the Word of God from the Old Testament. That's all they had. And so that reminded them of the Scripture. It was always a reminder that the Word of God was near their mind, so that if their thought life got out of whack, that would remind them that God's Word was right there. The other one they had was on their left arm. And the left arm, there was a box right here, and they had these thongs going up, leather bands. And when Tom comes back, he'll put this picture up for you to see. But like everything good that God does, man has to take it a step beyond that and magnify it and make it bigger. And Jesus warned us in prayer about, oh yes, can you just fade out the letters? Okay, it just says blank way over to the right at the top of the screen where it says blank. It'll just fade out those words so you can see the picture. The scripture will disappear temporarily. There it goes. That's right. Okay, so there's the box on the forehead to remind them of the commandments of God and His Word. And the one on the arm, the scripture talks about it being on their left arm. And I don't know however many times you've gone to have your blood pressure checked. Usually the left arm is the one that is checked for blood pressure, because it's the most, it's catching the blood as it comes from your heart and goes out to your left side. And so that box there by your left arm is a reminder of the word in your heart, because if you tie it tight enough, it's like that blood pressure thing. You can almost feel your heartbeat. You can feel your pulse. And so they would put it there too to remind them of the word in their heart. So they had one for the mind and one for the heart, just like the scripture says. And in their morning prayers, and even today, if you see pictures of people praying at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, and they bow and almost push their head against that wall, if you look very closely in any footage you'll see that box on their forehead. And it's called a phylactery, and it contains God's word, at least the word that they had at the time. But Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 had something to say about that, because always the Pharisees were always wanting to take things to the extreme. Good morning, Phil. Good morning. Praise the Lord. They were always wanting to draw attention to themselves, to make everybody think that they were more special, more holy, more righteous than anybody else. So Matthew 23:5, I don't think that's, yeah, that's the correct verse. Matthew 23:5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. And this is a teaching that Jesus was doing about telling us to, we don't have to do anything outwardly to draw attention to ourselves that we're any better or any more special than anybody else. But they would do that so that people would say, oh, they must be such a holy man. Did you see the size of that box on that guy's head? Why, his head is so full. and they would just do things that would make themselves attention being drawn to them. But Jesus told us that when we pray, go into our prayer closet, be alone with the Father, and don't make a big deal out of it. They always try to do everything outwardly to get the praises of men. But he warned us not to do that. So we don't wear that box on our head, and we don't wear it on our arm, but maybe sometimes we should think about that demonstration, how important God's word is. And then Jesus in John 15:7, this is the other opening scripture that goes with it. Because something happened after Jesus came. That word of God no longer has to be in a box on the outside. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. The favor of God comes upon us. We obey his word. Now, like Tom said, you can cop an attitude and say, all right, God, I'll do it. But not if our heart's not in it. There has to be a desire, because his word is life to us. And he says, if you abide in me and my word abides. Abide means to dwell in, to live in, to remain attached to. So they demonstrated it with an outward box. It's almost like a parable, really. But really, God's word should abide within us. We should be filled with his word, so that we too, when he says to lay up my words, that means always, so that we have an abundance of his word available for every situation we find ourselves in, or every encounter with the person. You won't have to stutter and stammer and say, well, I know it's in the Bible somewhere. Oh, I got to run home and get my Bible. Just wait a minute. And you might lose an opportunity. You might have a word for a person. And so it's important that we have a working knowledge of the scriptures. And that's why I'm really happy to see that you bring your Bible, so that you can look these up and find them too. It's easy to read it on the board, but when we look it up, and the more we do it, the more remember where scriptures are, so that we can be more effective in the kingdom of God, but also so that we know and have a working knowledge of what God expects of us, what he's called us to be, who he's called us to be, and what to do when he asks us to do something. So that was the little demonstration with the opening scripture from Deuteronomy. Now it's an inner witness. It's not out here. And we don't have to enlarge the hems of our border making a bigger prayer shawl, because your prayers reach heaven already. You have direct access. I got a phone call yesterday from a lady that knows that I have a connection. That's how she refers it. So when she won't use the word prayer, but when she needs prayer for somebody, she will call me and she'll say, would you put a few words in? I know you have a connection. And that's precious. You know, that's part of our witness. And if we have that word in our hearts, like this tells us to, whenever people ask us or whenever they call upon us in a time of need, we've got fresh living water in our well, the well of salvation. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, greet each other. Oh, for the last several weeks, as those of you that have been able to be here for this series of Sundays, we've been talking about how to identify spiritual dryness and how to overcome it. And by now you all should have that all set and never have that problem again. So this is to help the others that maybe God was sending across your path. So these are some identifying marks. You can ask yourselves these things. If you find yourself in one of these eight conditions: a lack of joyful anticipation to life and ministry. Now, when you think of this in light of people who are in ministry, I have to speak to all of you as my fellow co-laborers in Christ, because there are ministries and serving others that we're all involved in, whether it's in our work, whether it's in our home, or whether it's in our communities. We all find places, if you will, to release those gifts and skills and talents that God has given us. So, but if you don't have a joyful anticipation each day when you get up, and you look forward to a new day, that can be a problem if it goes on. Once in a while, maybe, you know, like yesterday was a bad hair day, but finally the rain stopped. And yet, if we don't have that joy that was first there when we got saved, what happened to it? Where did it go? How did we let the enemy snatch that away from us? I believe it was Jerry Savile wrote a book once, and it says, if the devil can steal your joy, he can steal your goods. That's the name of the book, wasn't it, Sharon? Jerry Savile? Yes. Yes. If the devil gets your joy, he's got your goods, because you let your guard down. Okay, a lack of freshness in personal prayer and worship, to where prayer becomes just one more thing I have to do today. And don't think that you can't get into that mindset, because your day can close in so quickly with all its activities that prayer, I'm about to blow up if you tell me I got to do one more thing. There needs to be that freshness about it. And it's not like, well, who do you think you're talking to when you're praying? You're not talking to some small little tater out in the field someplace. You're talking to the Lord our God, the creator of all things. You're talking, and when you're talking to the Lord, you know, you're activating all of heaven on your behalf. You're activating all of the angels on your behalf. You're activating everything in heaven on your behalf. That's not any small thing. So it should be an exciting time. Quickly irritated with little things. Now, I'm sure I showed up in the wrong place today, because there's nobody here that ever gets finding yourself quickly irritated with little things. I knew we could have a little fun with this. Well, I think that probably if it becomes more pronounced and it begins to creep in, because that's what these things do. You know, once in a while, so we're not walking in the spirit, we're walking in the flesh, and we might quickly say something and wish we hadn't said it, or did something and wish we hadn't done it. But when it becomes a daily thing, when we find ourselves getting into that mindset or that rut, then we know that we're headed for some spiritual trouble. So the whole point of this is to help us to identify these signs so that we can do something about them. Not appreciating those around you on your team, if your team is a ministry staff, or maybe within your household, you're not always on board with everybody in the house. And taking people for granted, taking your husband for granted, taking your wife for granted, taking others for granted, that they're just always going to be there. Well, maybe they're not always going to be there. And you better learn to appreciate people now, because they can suddenly come into your life and they can suddenly go just as quick. Mm-hmm. Learn to appreciate every life that God has put in your path, even if you don't like them. Appreciate them for who they are.
The Bible says you have to love them.
That's right. It's a commandment. Negative comments and negative attitude, the ER Christian. Not the the Tigger Christian. I was finding happy, good things to say and bopping around all the time and in your face and making you up. How can you be so happy all the time? Well, I fill myself up with happy juice every day. I like it. You never know how your day's going to turn out. Better start off drinking some fresh water from the well. From the well that never runs dry. Lack of motivation or desire, apathy. Just don't feel like going to church today. Just don't feel like going to Bible study. You know, that's the time when you need to go the most, when you don't feel like it, because that's your flesh telling you that. And you have to learn to take dominion and authority. Say, flesh, in the name of Jesus, I don't care what you feel like. We go into church today, whether you like it or whether you don't. You have to talk to yourself like that sometime. Because you know what? Feelings will keep you away from a lot of things of the Lord. And that's the truth. If we get all caught up in doing everything based on how we feel, well, then you just have to change how you feel about those feelings. It doesn't take long. Look how quick and easy it is to change your mind about something. I told you about my stomach. It'll be throwing a hissy fit. It's time to eat. Don't you care about me? And I say, stomach, you shut up. I'm the one that decides when you get food and when you don't. Now you better pay. Or you'll get nothing. Then we'll see how quiet you get. That'll teach you. See, that's the spirit man speaking to the flesh, to the feelings. Do we grow to that place? Yes. Does it happen overnight? No. But oh boy, I'll tell you, it pays great dividends. When you learn that you can take authority over your own stomach, you can conquer the world for Christ. Weariness. I'm just tired out. I spent 711 hours with that person this week. And I'm just weary. I'm just tired. I just want to quit. What's the point? Been working with them for 7 years and I haven't seen a change. Wow. I could just imagine God saying that to us. I've been working on you for 7 years and you haven't changed. And he says, well, more than one fish in the sea. See you later, Charlie Tuna. And he go finds another little fishy. See, we can do that with people sometimes, but when we find ourselves getting into that kind of a mindset, you always remember, whatsoever your mind is set to do, your feet will soon follow. So it's best to start working on these things when they're thoughts, because thoughts become actions, and then actions take us down a wrong path. Bewildered, disheartened, and demoralized, just getting discouraged in ministry. I don't know what that word is here. I'm not saying that I'm any different or any better than anybody else. It's just that I love what I do. And I've learned these things. I've learned to recognize them when they're just a little thing, so that they don't become a big thing. So anyway, now we have the remedy. Got to break the blame cycle. We talked about that a couple weeks back. Recognizing our deepest need. A little note that I had put here, though, when we start getting like that weary and our spirit man gets kind of run down, an observation I've noticed in my lawn when it doesn't rain very often, and I wrote this little observation: weeds have no problem growing in a lack of water. Now you think about that spiritually. Weeds will have no problem growing in your garden if there's a lack of spiritual water in your life. And then when you pull up the weeds, you got to be careful you don't disrupt some good things too. It's best to stay spiritually filled all the time and not let other things creep in, because life is like that. We talked about recognizing our deepest need. It's not the outward things, it's the inner things. We talked about that last week. Stop deferring. This is a real biggie. A common response to spiritual dryness is to look beyond our present circumstances to some future time when we will have the space and opportunity to be refreshed. Do you know how hard that is to do? Because the enemy of our souls is going to make sure that there is no future time. He will fill your day, or even good things. You and I can get so busy doing good things that we forget to do the God things. the things that are the most important to God. And by doing that, we'll say, but I said yes to all of these people. And now I'm stuck. Because that's a bad witness for a Christian. We're supposed to keep our word. What do I do? Well, I can tell you what I do, but you all can answer for yourselves. I quit saying yes to a lot of stuff. I just flat out did it. So I'm only one person. I can make a difference. But at what cost? At what expense? You have to learn to discern what things have the most priority. Because saying no to some people and saying no to some things will bring you into such a wonderful, refreshing, get the burden off of your back. God called more than just you. This whole world doesn't revolve just around you and I. And if we think for one minute that it isn't going to get done if we don't do it, we do think like that sometimes. Well, who's going to do it if I'm not here? Well, I don't know. If I'm not here, I'm probably not going to give it a whole lot of worry. Learn to say no so that you're more free. So that you don't get weary in well-doing. That's one of Faith's favorite verses of Scripture in Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That means run out of gas. The meter's running low. Putting things off. Take action now. Circumstances may not change immediately. And if you say, well, I'll wait until I have more time before I go to that men's conference or that ladies' conference, or I'll wait until I have a free Sunday, or pick any day of the week. But putting our spiritual needs last is never going to make it, because that's what we need first place. Because if we're spiritually strong, then you can handle whatever comes your way. But if we get run down spiritually, we get weary, and then those other symptoms come along. We get a short fuse, a little bit ugly with people, a little bit snippety, and you know, people just aggravate you, irritate you, and you just want to go off someplace. Well, you should go off someplace. But don't go off the deep end someplace. Go off the deep end with Jesus. That's okay. Go find a quiet room in the house and crank up some praise and just do some soaking in the Holy Ghost. Take the phone off the hook. Lock the doors. Want nobody in your house. And just get alone with the Lord. It doesn't take long. Most praise songs are only 4 minutes or less. Look at your CDs. Out of 168 hours a week, you can't find 4 minutes for God to praise Him? Man. And always remember, we make our own schedules. We all can do these things. And sometimes it just takes a minute. Sometimes it's just, Lord, I need to be refreshed. Lord, I'm just a mess. Doesn't take long at all. It can be a song, one song, a song of praise, time of praying in the Spirit. Maybe just picking up your Bible and reading a few verses. Just so that there's something spiritual going back into us. Because that's what's going to keep us going. Reconnect with God. Jesus said, let anyone who was thirsty come to me and drink. John 7:37. Let anyone who was thirsty. There needs to be, if we've lost that thirst, if we've lost that desire, that's a more difficult place to get out of. If because this is kind of a gradual thing, and suddenly we realize spiritually, I don't know how I got here. I don't know what happened. I can't put my finger on any one thing, but usually it'll be a combination of things over a period of time. And I've noticed, and people have told me this to my face, after 3 weeks of missing church, they don't miss church anymore because they fill the day up with something else. Because you see, it takes only 3 weeks to make a new habit. I try to get people that haven't come to any of the Bible studies, come to 3 in a row, 1 hour a week. 1 hour a week, 3 weeks in a row. And it will be absolute what it will do for your spirit. It's not the time, it's the quality of the things that God pours back into our spirit. You can ask any of the people that come to Bible studies during the week. Some of them kicked and thrashed all the way here and didn't want to be here, and yet they had a compelling to be here. And when they got here, they were so amazed at what the Lord did. That's all it takes, just reconnecting. Whatever it takes to get into that place where we encounter the Lord. Maybe there's a special place that you like. Maybe there's a path or a walk that you like to walk, and just get away from things like Jesus did. He took his disciples and got away from the busyness of ministry because he saw the importance of that. David wrote, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with him? See, these are the things that help us to get back where we should be. If you can't find a lot of time, another thing to do that's really helpful is to remember all when the Lord showed you his favor and his grace, and you prayed for something and the Lord showed you his faithfulness and how good he is and how gracious and merciful he is, and you just, if you just start thinking about his goodness to you, something begins to start happening spiritually inside. Instead of looking at all the things you missed, all the things you could have done, don't worry about all the things you could have done. The fact of the matter is you didn't, and they're gone. Forget it. Get on with your life. Quit looking in the rearview mirror and start looking out the windshield. And just start thinking about all of God's favor to you over the years, all the things that he did and how faithful he is. Acknowledge and repent of any areas of sin that the Holy Spirit brings to mind. Notice I like the way I worded that the Holy Spirit brings to mind. Not another person pointing their finger at you in judgment. It's more effective when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And each person has their own way of connecting with God. One method isn't the same for everybody. You all know when you have your special times, that's where you go. Don't let people rob you of all that time. Find that time. It's very important. Go to the lake, take a walk in the woods, bring the bug spray. But find a way to get along with the Lord and ask him to refill you. And remember, I'm not talking and teaching in the context that the Holy Spirit comes and goes. He's always present. But refilling is just basically coming back into his presence and receiving from him an awareness and a refreshing that comes from being in his presence. In the book of Acts, when faced with persecution, you think you had a bad day? Read the book of Acts sometimes about how some of the disciples and apostles were treated by others. And the church was under severe persecution. Think about our brothers and sisters that are languishing in jails all over the world right now in horrible prison and living conditions because of their faith. I think about Paul and Silas. All they did was cast a demonic spirit out of a woman, and they ended up getting beaten half to death and thrown in prison and chained in the inner prison deep under the streets of the city, where the sewer would run in and drip on them, where they were chained to a wall and couldn't run to a flush toilet and couldn't run down to the prison library and get a degree in law and sue the people that put them in jail. They didn't have color TV. They didn't have a CD to listen to. You know what they did? Paul and Silas were praying and praising God at midnight in front of all the other prisoners. Boy, you do that today? You dare to? That's how they handled it. And God moved on their behalf. They could have thought of all the reasons why they shouldn't have been in jail. And all these terrible things came upon them. They could have had the biggest pity party you would have ever heard. Well, it weren't my fault. That was other person's fault. I always get the blame. I always take the rap. Why me, Lord? Why me? They didn't do that. The way they get out of that is to praise Him, to worship Him, and begin to thank Him. And you know when it's the hardest to do? When we don't feel like it. See there again, feeling. Got to get beyond the feeling and get on with the healing. The best prayers are the simple ones. Doesn't have to be long. Father, I know I need a drink. Fill. Glug, 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 glug. Suddenly, refreshing comes. And Coca-Cola really isn't the real thing. Is it? No. Review and refocus. We'll talk about that one perhaps next week. But it's a matter of recognizing these things and being able to do something about it before they get a hold of us and we're not as effective or as helpful to others as we could be, as God would want us to be. Wow. We might actually get finished with this next week. No guarantee, but we might. Anybody want prayer today? Sure would like to pray with you.